difficulty in pronouncing some verses, but we are going to do together. So together sankirtan, all doshas will go away. Kalo doshanide rajan nasti eko mahan guna kirtanadeva krishnasya, in sankirtan all the doshas will go away. So if you chant the verses, even though you cannot chant properly, if you are chanting in a group, it sounds nice. In Andhra, in Telugu language, there is one saying called, we say Gumpulo Govinda, means if you are in a mass, even though you do something wrong, nobody notices. So you should chant, even though you may not know certain verses, try to do that. Make some similar sounds, whatever comes. By doing so, gradually it will pick up. Maybe if you do it for the next few days, and if possible, when the next teacher comes, then also you can continue doing that. And what will happen is, it will be a habit for you. It will be a habit for you to do it every day, and become a habit even after the Bhakti Shastri also. So it will be a nice thing to really recite all the 108 verses every day. So please chant all together. Tatrashtravacha dharma kshetre guru kshetre samaveta yuyutsava mahaka pandava seva kima durgada sanjaya akranya dosho hoda svabha raja nibam dharma sammuda cheta yaste
Sambhasthe Shubhajayate Sambhasthanyayate Kama kama krodho vichayate krodha badesa moha sammoha smriti vyakrama smriti vyakrama buddhi nasho buddhi nasha pranashyate sarvesham mukhaisto vishayam indriyascharam atmavashye dehama prasadam adhigacchati yanisha sarvabhutanam tasyam jagrati sanyame yasyam jagrati bhutani sanisha pashyato mune yamyatam tarmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandana tadartam karma bhavdeya mukta sangha samachara anna bhavanti bhutani pachanyadanna sambhava yajna bhavati pachanyo yajna karma samuttava yajnatakrati shrestha tattadeve karochana sayatramanam kurute lokastadanu vartade prakrite vyamanani munayakarmani sarvasa ahankaram mulasma tarta miti manyate srimadvan vacha kamayesha krodhesha ajoguna samudbhava mahashano mahapapma vidhivenam yavairinam srimadvan vacha imam vivasvate yogam proktavanam adhyayanam vivasvan manave vraha manrikshvakave bravet evam parampara praptam imam rajarashayo vidu sakale neha mahata yogo nashta parantapa svayamayam mayatetya yoga prokta puratana vato sime sakacheti rahasyam edaduttamam padurti santapriyatma bhutanam isharopisam pratvakim swamadishtaya sambhavamyatmamayaya yadayadahidharmasya ranirvavati bharata abhyutthanamatharmasya tadatmanam sujamya paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya jadashvitam dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge janma karma charme divyam evam yo veti tatpada tetva evam punarjanma naiti mame sukarjana vikara prakrodha manmaya mama upasita bhavo jnana tapasa purama bhava magada ಮಮ ವರ್ಮಾನ್ ವರ್ತಂತೆ ಮನುಷ್ಯ ವರ್ತ ಸರ್ವಶಃ ಚಾತುರ್ವರ್ಣ್ಯಂ ಮಯಾ ಶ್ರೇಷ್ಠಂ ಗುಣಕರ್ಮಾಭಿಭಾಗಶಃ ತಸ್ಯ ಕರ್ತಾರಮಪಿ ಮಾಂ ವಿದ್ಯಕರ್ತಾರಮವ್ಯಯಂ ತದ್ವಿಧಿ ಪ್ರಣಿಪಾತೇನ ಪರಿಪ್ರಶ್ನೇನ ಸೇವಯಾ ಉಪದೇಶ್ಯಂತಿ ತೇ ಜ್ಞಾನಂ ಜ್ಞಾನಿನಸ್ತತ್ವದರ್ಶಿನಃ ವಿನಯಸಂಪನ್ನೇ ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಣೆ ಗವಿಹಸ್ತಿನಿ ಸುಮೇ ಚೈವ ಸುಪಾಕೇ ಚ ಪಂಡಿತಾ ಸಮದರ್ಶಿನಃ ಯೇನಿ ಸಂಸ್ಪರ್ಶಜ ಅವೋಘ ದುಃಖಯೋ ನಯಯೇವತೆ ಆದ್ಯಂತವಂತ ಕೌಂತೆಯ ನತೇಷು ರಮತೆ ಬುಧಾ ಯಜ್ಞದವಸಾಂ ಸರ್ವಲೋಕ ಮಹೇಶ್ವರಂ ಸೂರ್ಯಂ ಸರ್ವಭೂತಾನಾಂ ಜ್ಞಾತ್ವಾ ಮಾಂ ಶಾಂತಿರಿಚ್ಛತಿ ಶುಚೀನಾಂಗೇ ಯೋಗಭ್ರಷ್ಟೋ ವಿಜಾಯತೆ ಯೋಗಿನಾಮಪಿ ಸರ್ವೇಷಾಂ ಮದ್ಗತೇನಾಂತರಾತ್ಮನಾ ಶ್ರದ್ಧಾವಾನ್ ವದತೆ ಯೋ ಮಾಂ ಸಮೇ ಯುಕ್ತತಮೋ ಮತಾ ಮನುಷ್ಯಾನಾಂ ಸಹಸ್ರೇಷು ಕಶ್ಚಿದ್ ಯದತಿ ಸಿದ್ಧಯೇತ್ ಯದತಾಮಪಿ ಸಿದ್ಧಾನಾಂ ಕಶ್ಚಿನ್ ಮಾಂ ವೇತಿ ದತ್ವತಃ ಭೂಮಿನಾ ಪೋನಲೋ ವಾಯೋಃ ಕಮ್ಮನವಬುದ್ಧಿರೇವ ಚ ಅಹಂಕಾರಮಿತೀಯಂ ಮೇ ಭಿನ್ನಾ ಪ್ರಕೃತಿರಶ್ಚದಾ ಅಪರೇಯಮಿದಸ್ತ್ವನ್ಯಾಂ ಪ್ರಕೃತಿಂ ವಿದ್ಧಿ ಮೇ ಪರಾಂ ಜೀವಭೂತಾಂ ಮಹಾಭಾವೋ ಯೇದಂ ಕಾರ್ಯತೆ ಜಗತ್ ಮಾತಾ ಪರತರಂ ನಾನ್ಯಾಂ किंचिदस्ति धनंजय मयि सर्वमिदं रोतं सूत्रे मणिकणामिव परिवेशा गुणमयी मम माया दुरत्तया मामेव ये प्रपद्यन्ते मायामेतां तरन्तिते नाम दुष्कृतिनो मूढा प्रपद्यन्ते नराधमा माया मदुरज्ञाना आसुरं भावमाश्रिता चतुर्विधा भजन्ते मां जना सुकृतिनोऽर्जुना पार्थो जिज्ञासुरभटार्थि ज्ञानी च भरतर्षभ बहूनां जन्मना मन्ते ज्ञानवान् प्रपद्यते वासुदेव सर्वमिति स महात्मा सुदुर्लभः अन्तं प्रकाश सर्वस्य वेदमाया समाहृता मूढोऽयं न विजानाति लोको मामजमभ्ययम् एतानि वर्तमानानि चार्जुन भविष्यानि च भूतानि मां द्वेद न कश्चन इच्छाद्वेषसमुद्वेन द्वन्द्वमोहेन भारत सर्वे भूतानि सम्मोहं सर्वे यान्ति परन्तप जनानां पुण्यकर्मणां ते द्वन्द्वमोहविनिर्मुक्ता पठन्ते मां कृतवर्ता मामेव स्मरन्मुक्त्वा कलेवरं य प्रयाति समद्भावं यादिनाश्चत्र संशयः मामे स्मरन् भावं त्यजत्यन्ते कलेवरं तं तमेवैति कौन्तेय सदा तद्भावभावितः तस्मात् सर्वेषु कालेषु मामनुस्मरयुक्त च मय्यार्पिता मनोबुद्धिः मामेवैष संशयः अनन्यसततं यो मां स्मरति नित्यशः तस्याहं सुलभा पार्था नित्ययुक्तस्य योगिनः मां वेद्या पुनर्जन्म दुःखालेव शाश्वतं न कुर्वन्ति महात्मानां संसिद्धिं परमामृता आब्रह्मा गुणाल्लोक पुनरावर्तिनोऽर्चुन मा उपेत्या तुभं देय पुनर्जन्म न विद्यते वेदेषु यज्ञेषु तपःसु चैव दानेषु यत्पुण्यफलं प्रदिष्टम् अद्येति तत्सर्वमिदं विदित्वा योगी परं स्थानमुपेति चाद्यं राजविद्या राजगुह्यं पवित्रमिदमुत्तमं प्रत्यक्षावगमं धर्म्यं सुसुखं कर्तृमव्ययम् मायाकृतमिदं सर्वं जगत्प्रियमूर्तिमा मत्स्थानि सर्वभूतानि न चाहं तेषु अवस्थितः सूयते सचराचरं हेतुमेन कौन्तेय जगति परिवर्तते मानुषिं धर्माश्रित अवं जानन्तो मम भूता महेश्वरम् मोगाशामोगकर्माणो मोगज्ञानाभिचेतसा राक्षसी मासुरीं चैव प्रकृते मोहिनीश्रिता मानमनस्तु मां पार्थ दैवीं प्रकृतिमाश्रिता भजन्ति अरण्यमनसो ज्ञात्वा भूतादिमव्ययम् कीर्तयन्तो मां दत्तस्य दृढव्रता नमस्यन्तस्य मां भक्त्या नित्ययुक्ता उपासते चिन्तयन्तो मां ये जनाः पर्युपासते तेषां नित्याभियुक्तानां योगक्षेमं वहाम्यहम् देवान् पितृव्यान्ति पितृव्रता भूतानि यान्ति भूते च यान्ति मध्याजिनोऽपि मां पुष्पं फलं तोयं यो मे भक्त्या प्रयच्छति तदहं भक्तिर्भरुतं अश्नामि प्रयतात्मनः यज्जोषि यज्जोषि तदासि यत्तपससि कौन्तेय तत्कुरुष्वामदर्पणम् सुराचारो हृदे मामनन्यथा साधुरेव समन्तव्य सम्यक् व्यवसितो हि सः मामेवाश्रित्य एवेषु पापयोनयः श्रियो वैश्यस्तदा शूद्र एवयान्ति परां गतिम् भक्तो मध्याची माम नमस्कुरु मामे वैश्यसि देवं आत्मनां मत्परायणः सर्वस्य प्रभवो मत्तः सर्वं प्रवर्तते इति मत्वा भजन्ते मां मुदा भाव समन्विता प्राणा बोधयन्तः परस्परं कथयन्तश्च मां नित्यं तुष्यन्ति च रमन्ति च येषां श्रुतयुक्तानां हृदां प्रीतिपूर्वकं ददामि बुद्धियोगं तं येन मामुपयान्ति ते तेषामेवानुकम्पार्थम् आत्मज्ञानजं नमः नाशयामि आत्मभावस्थो ज्ञानदीपेण भाष्वत उवाच ब्रह्मावलन्दाम पवित्रं परमं भवान् पुरुषं शाश्वतं दिव्यम् आदिदेवम् अजं विभो आवस्त्वं ऋषयः सर्वे ये वर्षिर्नारदस्तदा आदितो देवलो व्यास स्वयं चैव ब्रवीषि मे भूतिमत्सत्त्वं श्रीमत्तूर्जितमेव वा तत्रत्येवापि गच्छ त्वं मम तेजांस सम्भवम् प्रवेशं च परन्तप मत्कर्मं परमो मद्भक्तः सङ्गवर्जितः निर्वैर्य सर्वभूतेषु समामेति पाण्डव
ेषाम् अव्यक्तासक्तचेतसाम् अव्यक्ता हि दुर्गां देहवद्भिरवाप्यते
नैबुद्धिर्निवेशय निवशिष्यति मय्येव अत ऊर्ध्वं न संशयः अत चित्तं समादातुं न शक्नोषि मयि स्थिरम् अभ्यासयोगेन ततो मामिच्छाप्तं धनञ्जय अभ्यास्येऽप्य समर्थोऽसि मत्कर्म परमो भव मदर्थमपि गर्भाणि कुर्वन् सिद्धिमवाप्स्यसि कर्मयोनिषु कौन्देय मूर्तया सम्भवन्ति यासां ब्रह्मयोनिर्अहं बीजप्रदपिता भक्तियोगेन सेवते सगुणान् समधीत्येतान् ब्रह्मभूयाय कल्पते प्रतिष्ठानं च शाश्वतस्य च धर्मस्य सुखमेकान्तिकस्य च निर्माणमोहाधिकसङ्गदोषाध्यात्मनित्या विनिवृत्तकामा विमुक्ता सुखलोकसंज्ञै गच्छन्त्यमूढापतमव्ययं तत् न पत्राशेते सूर्यो न शशाङ्को न पावक यद्गत्वा न निवर्तन्ते तद्गामा परमं मम अन्यवांशो जीवलोके जीवभूतः सनातन मनःषष्ठानि इन्द्रियाणि प्रकृतिस्थानि कर्षति स्मृतिर्ज्ञानमपोहरं च वेदैश्च सर्वे रामेव वेद्यो वेदान्तकृद्वेदविदेव चाहं यो मामेव सम्मूढो जानाति पुरुषोत्तमं स सर्ववेद्वदति मां सर्वपापेन भारत शौचं शान्तिराजमवेव च ज्ञानविज्ञानमास्तिक्यं ब्रह्मकर्म स्वभावजं ब्रह्मभूतात्मसन्नात्मा न शोचते न कांसति समं सर्वेषु भूतेषु मद्भक्तिं लभते परम् जानाति यावानिश्चास्मितत्त्वदो ज्ञात्वा विशदेव तदनन्तरम् मत्प्रसादात् करिष्यति अतः चेत्त्वम् अहङ्कारा न शोषति न विनशति ईश्वर सर्वभूतानां विदेशेऽर्धुनतिष्ठति रामयन् सर्वभूतानि यन्त्रारूढानि मायया मध्याजी मां नमस्कुरु मामे वैश्यसे प्रतिजाने प्रियोऽसि मे सर्वधर्मान् परित्यज्य मामे ekam charanam braja antam sarva bhavebhyo mokshayishyami masucha yaram paramam guhyam madbhakte javidasati bhaktim mai param kritva mame vaishat samsaya natasman manasyesu kasyitme priyadattama paripachame tasmat anya priyataro bhuvi yatra yogeshwara krishna yatra varto dhanurdhara tatra si vijayo bhutir urvani dirma dirma ma
So what about the homework? Very good. Most of you are very confident. So what is the name of the sixth chapter? Dhyana Yoga. Very good. Tenth chapter, Prabhuji?
Vibhuti Yoga.
Vibhuti Yoga. Very good. 15th chapter, Prabhuji?
Purushottam
Yoga. 17th chapter, Prabhuji? Yeah, you need Sanskrit, English, both. Division of faith. The Sanskrit for that? Very good. That's how you should do it. Faith means Shraddha. There are three kinds, so it is Traya. Vibhaga Yoga. Very good. Okay, let us see. What is the 13th chapter, Prabhuji? Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yoga. What is the 5th chapter, Prabhuji? Fifth. Karma Sanyasa Yoga or Action in Krishna Consciousness. So, 4th chapter, Prabhuji?
Jnana Karma
Sanyasa Yoga. Very good. Jnana Karma Sanyasa Yoga. So, all of you are done. What about 18th chapter, Prabhuji?
Conclusion, perfection of renunciation.
There is Sanskrit for that? Moksha Sanyasa Yoga. He has done all. He had a lot of tension right from yesterday itself. So that he can tell his parents, you know, I learned all the 18 chapters. What are they? He can tell all the names. So, now, yesterday Ajitas was speaking about 18 chapters and why these 18 chapters are there, and rather how they are divided. There are three sections. The first section of the 18th chapter, the first six chapters are known as Karma Mishra, Bhakti Yoga. And the second set of six chapters, Bhakti Yoga, a pure devotional service. And the third set of six chapters. So this kind of division was originally made by Sripala Yamunacharya, the spiritual master of Ramanujacharya. Sripada Yamanacharya wrote 32 points regarding Bhagavad Gita. Based on that, Sripada Ramanacharya wrote his commentary, based on which everyone, even till date in future also, are going to write their commentaries. As much as Sridhara Swami is the original commentator for Srimad Bhagavatam, Ramanujacharya is the original commentator for Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Okay? So this kind of division of these chapters was made by Yamunacharya, based on the Ramanuja also, based on his commentary. And why these six chapters in the middle, they are known as Bhakti Yoga? Why the Bhakti Yoga is kept in the middle? Why? Yes, because it is very, very confidential. Confidential thing, a secret thing is kept in the middle, isn't it? Secret thing is kept in the... So what is a confidential thing? Bhakti is the conferential thing. So what is that verse in the Bhagavad Gita which is known as Gita Rahasya? Anybody? Janmakarma Chame Guhya. That is passive. That verse which is Guhya, which is secret. Secret means, though everybody knows the verse, they don't know the meaning of the verse. Guhya, you said Guhya. What is that Guhya verse? Okay, that is the verse saying that this Vidya is Guhya. Then what is that Vidya which is Guhya? Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishya satyam te pratijane priyosime. This verse is known as Gita Rahasya. Gita Rahasya. What is the topmost verse in the Bhagavad Gita? Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. That is known as the topmost verse. In other words, it is known as Charama Shloki Gita. Charama Shloki. Charama means topmost. Charama Shloki Gita. You know, Gita, Sara or Chitushloki Gita. What are the four verses in which the entire Bhagavad Gita is there? 10 chapter, 8, 9, 10, 11. Okay, these are what? This is Shloki Gita. There is something called Trishloki Gita. You also know that? You heard about it? Trishloki Gita. Or Vedanta Sara. Anybody knows? Gita Rahasya is 1865. Manmanabhavad Bhakto, 1865.
10.8 to
10.11 is Gita Sara, Chatushloki Gita. Vedanta Sara or Trishloki Gita is 15 chapters, 16, 17, 18. Swami Mokushav Loke Ksharakshara Evacha Ksharasarvani Bhutani Kutas Dokshara Uchate Tasmat Charamadito Hammaksharada Vichautama. 16, 17, 18.
Three
shlokas are known as Trishloki Gita. Or the entire Bhagavad Gita in three verses. Or other name is 15.
The previous one was
Chatushloki. Chatushloki Gita. This is known as Trishloki Gita or Gita Sar. Gita Sar and Chatushloki both same. And Trishloki and Vedanta Sara both are same. Madhvacharya's favorite three verses. Vavivavu, Dvaita. Chatushloki is 10.8 to 11. 8, 9, 10, 11. The entire Bhagavad Gita in three shlokas. 15 chapter, 6, 7, 16, 17, 18. That is Trishloki Gita or Vedanta Sar.
Gita Sar.
Okay, next. What is Karma Sara? All Karma Yoga is there in that verse. Madkarma print, Madparamo, Madbhakta, Sangavarjita, Nirvaira, Sarabhuteshu, Yasamami di Pandava. 11th chapter, 55th verse is known as Karma Sara. Or? Or? 3rd chapter, 30th verse. Mai sarvani karmani sanyasya adhyatma chetasa nirmamo nirankara yuddhasva vidatachvara. This verse, sir? 3rd chapter, 30th verse.
3rd chapter, 30th.
Both are karma sara. Okay? Bhagavad Gita over. Know these verses, Bhagavad Gita is over. Yes.
When you compare the Gitas, there is one verse that seems to be...
One verse. That is the 12th chapter, first verse. Some verses, some Gitas don't have it. That is a question asked by Arjuna. In some editions of the Bhagavad Gita, you will not find that question asked by Arjuna. But it is there. But they have exempted that. Some people say it's a question, so they have removed it. It is not that they are intentionally, it's wrong or something like that. It's a question though, just... Let it be totally bhakti yoga. Let it be Krishna speaking directly. So Krishna, Arjuna asking question, saying that, oh, which is better to worship the personal aspect of yours as a personal aspect. So that they have removed. That is the only thing. Everything is accepted as.
So the practice of pranayama is recommended?
Practice of pranayama is recommended for good health. Physical health.
Gita Mahatmya second text, it is saying that then the person
is never
come from across his past
mistakes.
Gita Mahatmya second text. What is that?
Read that. Read the translation.
One who is regularly engaged in the study of Bhagavad Gita and in the practice of pranayama is never affected by the reaction of his past disease.
So this pranayama is different from what you understand with pranayama. there is a Vedic way of doing everything. And there is a Vedic way of chanting Bhagavad Gita also. Whether Vishnu Sahasranam or Bhagavad Gita or anything. Before you do something, you do some nyasa kriyas. Nyasa, you purificatory activities before you do any activity. Even before you do Gayatri or anything, then nyasa kriyas. So there, that end is actually kind of translation. It means when you do Bhagavad Gita Parayan, like as Parayan, you need to do certain rituals before reciting Bhagavad Gita. And that is what it is meant. It is not that Ramdev Baba's pranayama. I'll do pranayama what Ramdev Baba told. Okay, it will give you some good health, no doubt. And also there are everything has got its importance. Before chanting your Gayatri, you are supposed to do some pranayama. But it is not that Ramdev Baba's thing. It is certain things which brings your vayus under certain kind of position where you can chant the mantra in a proper way. When you do Gayatri, you're supposed to do some breathing pranayama. And that is not for the good health. It is for bringing your airs in the body at a static position. So that when you chant at Gayatri, your whole concentration is only on the Gayatri and nothing else. But for chanting the Hare Krishna, you don't require that. It's not required. Niyamita smaranena kala. So the word the pranayama is not that pranayama which Brahmane Baba teaches. It is the nyasa kriyas. You have this Bhagavad Gita, I'll tell about it. Don't get confused.
Ramdev
Baba is the nasa. He teaches pranayama. That purpose is different.
That's
like for example, I'll just read out. See. Adak karanyasaha. Then you have to hold your hand like this. Karanyasaha. Om asya srimad bhagavad gita ma mantrasya. Bhagavan Veda Vyasa Rishi Anushup Chandaha Sri Krishna Paramatma Devata Asochyanam Sochustam Prajna Vadam Sivasate Iti Bijam. You have to think chanting this word Bijam. Saradharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja Sharanam Vraja Iti Shakti. You understand, this is the Shakti of the entire Bhagavad Gita. Aham Dvam Sarvabe Bhyo Mokshishayama Asuchaha Iti Kilakam. It is the pivot. अनैनं चिन्तन्ति शस्त्राणि नैनं दहति पावकः इति इत्यङ्गुष्ठाभ्यां नमः. अङ्गुष्ठा एंड यू हैव टू टच लाइक अङ्गुष्ठ लाइक दिस एंड देन न चैनं केदयन्त्या पूर्ण शोषयति मातः इति तर्जनीभ्यां नमः. तर्जनी दिस तर्जनी टच द तर्जनी लाइक दिस एंड यू डू इट बिकॉज अवर कॉन्शियसनेस इज सो मच एम्बेडेड इन द बॉडी. What you are doing by doing these mantras, this chanting like this, your senses are gradually coming to a divine consciousness. So in that divine consciousness, you chant the mantras or chant the Vishnu Sahasranam or you chant Bhagavad Gita or anything. So there are so many vinyogas in the Vedic literatures. Vinyoga means the purpose for which you are using the mantras. Something is called Yajna Vinyoga. So you use Bhagavad Gita for doing Yajna also. Use Bhagavad Gita for Japa also. For use Bhagavad Gita do Parayana also. So depending on that, there is so much of technology. But we don't have to bother about any of these things. Because you already, morning you got up, did Mangalarti and chant your Hare Krishna, that's enough. Don't go to all these things, otherwise you will get completely nuts. What's going on? Totally crazy. So Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But if you want, why it is there, everything explanation is there. And that is what is the meaning. When you are saying, using the word pranayama, these things, not that. But you should do this. And you are somebody standing, Bhagavata, both are same. No way. It's not so. Okay, where were we? Why the Bhagavad Gita middle six chapters Bhakti Yoga is in the middle? Because it is very confidential. Not only very confidential, it gives the strength for both karma and jnana. Like if there is butter in the bread, you eat the bread. If there is no butter, bread is stale. Karma and jnana give its result only because of bhakti. So the bhakti is like the butter which is in between. And that is giving results to karma and jnana, which are on both the sides. And the most important thing in the entire karma and jnana and bhakti is what? Karma, bhakti is important. So generally important people walk in the middle. And other chelas walk in the side. When the politician walks, where does he walk? In the middle. All the chelas go. So there may be a few reasons for all these things. That is why you have this division of these chapters into four. And now going to what? Setting the scene. That we will do when we discuss the first verse. We will not do the setting the scene. Next page, what is there? Preface. Preface was written by Prabhupada. Preface and introduction. Both are written by Prabhupada. So we'll go for the preface. Can any one of you read the preface? You know what is the meaning of preface? Why, what is the meaning of preface and why it is there? A short description of this book. Like, if you want to know a person, how do you know? You're looking at the face, isn't it? So if you want to know about the book, you read the preface. That is why it is called preface. Or in Hindi it is known as Amuk. What do you want? Amuk amuk cheezon ko do. Means what? Give the important one so that I can understand what it is. So if you want to know what Bhagavad Gita is, it in an overview, you just have to read the preface. So Srila Prabhupada gave the preface and then he gave the introduction. So when you read the preface is nothing like the marketing things. The marketing aspect of the Bhagavad Gita. Like you have a big holding. In that they put, what they say? Advertisement, they have something written, some slogans. Even the Lord would choose to stay in this building. I was thinking in the morning, what an advertisement. Even best of the advertisers in Bombay, they would fail in front of this advertisement. Isn't it? I was like, laughing. The big way they written is, the Lord would choose to stay here. Then what about you? Even if you don't come, you don't, we're not bothered about it. An apt advertisement to put in Vrindavan. Sadat, Arufi Sadat?
Yeah, Omex.
Huh? Some Omex or something.
The
screen is also the screen. He'll leave Nandagram and come here. And during Krishna's time, he left Vrindavan for only 1 hour. They all stayed in Nandagram. Now Krishna, now if he comes, he will stay there now. He'll not stay in Nandagram. Anyhow, so go ahead, read the preface. Preface means it is like what is there in general in the entire. Now introduction means, before reading that book, you have to read it and then enter the book. Without reading introduction, do not read the book. Like until unless you are introduced to a person, you will not develop a relationship with that person. First is introduction. So one is advertisement, other is after seeing the advertisement, you go to that office. And in office, that person, salesperson, he introduces you. You know, we have this much of space for garden, we have the swimming pool, we have gymnasium. He's introducing everything. After introducing, you would like to buy and stay there. So that is how it is. Preface, introduction, and the real subject. Every book, every sahitya should have it. That is the nature. Sanskrit literatures, this is the rule. There should be a preface, there should be introduction, and there should be, of course, I will not give you the technical names, it is known as Sambandha Chatushtaya or Chatushtaya. There are 4 things which are required for any literature to be accomplished full. So all these things I will not, that is not a part of your Bhakti Shastri course, it is part of Bhakti Vaibhav course. What is the second?
Why second edition?
Edition is because a lot of editing is going on. Even still editing is going on. Why? Because Prabhupada, he did not write it. What did he do? He dictated. So when the dictation was happening, those people were in hurry. So they did not hear those words properly sometimes. There are many things for this. There is a seminar also given by His Holiness Jayadvait Maharaj, why editing of Prabhupada books are required. And Prabhupada told Jayadvait Maharaj that you are authorized to change what in my books. Bring changes in my books. Because Prabhupada himself knew that when he spoke, when that person transcribed it, heard and transcribed, because they were not very much conversant in Sanskrit. Number 2, Prabhupada, mother tongue is Bengali. When he pronounced some Sanskrit and English words, they sounded a little bit different. Like, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and then he saved all of us. All the devotees started laughing. And Prabhupada said, yes, he saved all of us. Actually, Prabhupada wanted to say, saved. That became what? And everybody laughed for that. And then Prabhupada realized, I told something and they understood something. He was intelligent enough. Like he immediately took up, yes, he shaved, it's true. He saved by shaving all of us. So like that. So as editing goes on, refining, that is why VBD has really clearly told that if you find some mistake somewhere, like in your reading the book, you please inform us so that we'll work on it and in the next edition it will be rectified. Okay. Read the preface. Someone.
Originally, I wrote Bhagavad Gita as it is, in the form in which it is presented now. When this book was first published, the original manuscript was, unfortunately, cut short to less than 400 pages. Without illustrations and without explanation for most of the original verses of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. In all of my other books, Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Ishwarpishad, etc., the system is that I give the original verse, its English transliteration, word for word Sanskrit English equivalents, translations and purports. This makes the book very authentic and scholarly and makes the meaning self-evident. I was not very happy, therefore, when I had to minimize my original manuscript. But later on, when the demand for Bhagavad Gita as it is considerably increased, I was requested by many scholars and devotees to present the book in its original form. Thus, the present attempt is to offer the original manuscript of this great book of knowledge with full parampara explanation in order to establish the Krishna consciousness movement more soundly and progressively. Our Krishna consciousness movement is genuine, historically authorized, natural and transcendental, due to its being based on Bhagavad Gita as it is. It is gradually becoming the most popular movement in the entire world, especially amongst the younger generation. It is becoming more and more interesting to the older generation also. Older gentlemen are becoming interested, so much so that the fathers and grandfathers of my disciples are encouraging us by becoming life members of our great society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. In Los Angeles, many fathers and mothers used to come to see me to express their feelings of gratitude for my leading the Krishna Consciousness movement throughout the entire world. Some of them said that it is greatly fortunate for the Americans that I have started the Krishna Consciousness movement in America. But actually the original father of this movement is Lord Krishna himself, since it was started a very long time ago, but is coming down to human society by disciple succession. If I have any credit in this connection, it does not belong to me personally, but it is due to my eternal spiritual master, His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parit Prajaka Acharya, Ashtotra Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada.
Very good. Just hold here. Okay, Prabhupada wrote this Bhagavad Gita. Originally, first 20 he write it. Anybody knows? Prabhupada had to do this translation of Bhagavad Gita or give purports of Bhagavad Gita twice. Sold. Many parts were sold actually. Sold to the Adi Wala, waste paper Wala, for the biscuits. Biscuits for tea. So Prabhupada, when he went to the West, he had no copy of Bhagavad Gita of his own. Bhagavad Gita as it is was not there. So he translated Bhagavad Gita when he went to the West. So when he translated there, he says in the beginning that I have followed the same system which I have used it for Srimad Bhagavatam, Ishwarupanishad and other books. What is the system Srila Prabhupada has used? First he gives the Sanskrit or Devanagari. And then he gives what?
The Roman English.
Translation. The Roman English. For those who know computers, Balram font. Balram font. He used the Roman script. And first is Devanagari script and then the Roman script is known as transliteration. After the transliteration, what is there?
The word-to-word
meaning. And after the word-to-word meaning, what do you have?
Translation.
And after the translation, what do you have?
Purports.
This is standard format which Srila Prabhupada used. And the word-to-word meaning, what you find in Prabhupada's books, is the simplified version of giving the word-to-word meaning of a Sanskrit verse. Traditionally, whenever there is a word-to-word meaning given for a Sanskrit verse, that word-to-word meaning is not called word-to-word meaning. It is technically known as anvaya. What is it known as?
Anvaya.
So Prabhupada did not complicate because his audience were not Sanskrit literates. and they are not they are not scholars. He is addressing to common man. That is the reason he made it very simple. But from the literary point of view, the word-to-word meaning generally is given in a different format. Suppose, for example, there is a word, Dharma Kshetre, Kurukshetre, Samaveta, Utsava, Mamaka, Pandava, Seva, Kimakurvata, Sanjaya. So translation, how does the translation go? Oh, Sanjaya. Isn't it? So, in the Anvaya, word-to-word meaning, first, what is the word which is translated? Sanjaya. Oh, Sanjaya. What is the next line? In the battlefield of Kurukshetra. In the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Which is a Dharmakshetra. Now, Dharmakshetre, Kurukshetra. What is the next word will be there in Anvaya? Kurukshetra. And then Dharmakshetra will come. Mamaka Pandavasiva Kimakurvata Sanjaya. So the order of the meanings of the words, word to word meaning, will be different. It will not be the same exactly according to the verse. First Dharmakshetra meaning will be given, and then Kurukshetra meaning is given. Like that you will find it in the Prabhupada word to word meaning. But in Anvaya it will not be in the same order. First Sanjaya will be there, then Mamaka may be there, then maybe Kimakurvata may be there. So the order in which the word-to-word meaning given will be different according to the language in which you are giving the meaning. Suppose you are doing it in Hindi, then the order will be different. If you are doing the same thing in Arabic, it will be different. If you do it in English, it will be different. So that is known as Anvaya. Anvaya has to be, it's a word you should always keep in mind. So whenever you are giving a class in any language, it's in English or in your own language, it's a Marathi or Telugu or maybe German or whatever maybe. So if you are doing so, you can do it perfectly. You can convey the meaning perfectly only when you know the anvaya of the words in that particular language. So Srila Prabhupada has introduced that. How did he introduce? Have you ever carefully observed in our Bhagavatam class, after the word meaning is over, after the translation is read, after the purport is read, and the speaker, he does the Mangalacharan, after he does the Mangalacharan, before he starts the class, what does he do? Please repeat the translation after me, isn't it? That's actually supposed to be Anvaya. That means, the meaning of the words should be crystal clear in the mind of the speaker as well as the audience. And then only you begin your commentary. Actually what you are doing in a Bhagavatam class is you are giving your commentary based on the commentary of Prabhupada, isn't it? That is what you are doing in a Bhagavatam class or Bhagavad Gita class. What are you doing in a Bhagavad Gita or a Bhagavatam class? You are giving your commentary on the words based on the commentary given by Prabhupada. So, for that you need to be very clear. So, as we go into the first and second chapter when we are describing this, what is Anvaya, that becomes more and more clear because I am going to do the Anvaya very, I am going to give some exercises for you to do the Anvaya for it in English, maybe in some other language if you know. Like, Dharma Kshetre, Kurukshetre, Samaveta, Yutsava, Mamaka, Pandavas, Cheva. We will take that verse and see what is Anvaya for that verse. So, without making the words or the meaning of the words very clear to the audience, never give a class. So that should be kept in mind. Anyhow, going further, Srila Prabhupada is advertising this book. Now just see, this book has got anything. Like sometimes we go for book distribution, people say, you have any book I can learn Sanskrit? Bhagavad Gita. You see, word to word meaning, by reading the Bhagavad Gita, you will know a lot of meanings of Sanskrit. By hook or book, sell a book. So, and also the Prabhupada says, many people are recognizing this book. Not only my own disciples, my disciples' parents, grandfathers, and all these people, they see the book and they become life members. Many people were criticizing. And Prabhupada told, they all curse me, that is why I cannot stay at one place. This is all the advertisement. Even the Lord will stay here. That is called preface. So Prabhupada is actually saying that it's all completely parampara. Though it is a genuine movement, Bhagavad Gita, everything is based on Bhagavad Gita. You see, we have temples, we have that, we have this, but everything is based on this book. So this preface is a very good book for your book distribution. And at the end he says, whatever credit is there is actually not mine, it belongs to whom? So the mood of a perfect preacher is that he always gives the credit to his spiritual master. Okay? Now, nice question. Our spiritual master is the representative of Srimati Radharani and the 108 gopis. That is the Gaudiya Vaishnava understanding of these 108. Ashtottara Shata. Know that verse? Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajeshatanayastadhyam Vrindavanam Ramyavidupasana Vrajavadu Vargena Vakalpita Vrajavadu Vargena Va. We are following the footsteps of Rajavadu. So, our spiritual master is the representative of Srimati Radharani and 108 gopis. That is the reason we use the word Shri and 108. Shri means Srimati Radharani. 108 refers to 108 gopis. Okay? That is the reason. Okay, if personally I have any credit.
If personally I have any credit in this matter, it is only that I have tried to present Bhagavad Gita as it is without any adulteration. Before my presentation of Bhagavad Gita as it is, almost all the English editions of Bhagavad Gita were introduced to fulfill someone's personal ambition. But our attempt in presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is to present the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Our business is to present the will of Krishna, not that of any mundane speculator like the politician, philosopher or scientist, for they have very little knowledge of Krishna, despite all their other knowledge. When Krishna says, Manmana Bhavad Bhakto Bhadyaji Mam Namaskaru, etc., we, unlike the so-called scholars, do not say that Krishna and his inner spirit are different. Krishna is absolute, and there is no difference between Krishna's name, Krishna's form, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's pastimes, etc. This absolute position of Krishna is difficult to understand for any person who is not a devotee of Krishna in the system of parampara. Generally, the so-called scholars, politicians, philosophers and swamis, without perfect knowledge of Krishna, try to banish or kill Krishna when writing commentary on Bhagavad Gita. Such unauthorized commentary upon Bhagavad Gita is known as Mayavad Bhasa, and Lord Chaitanya has warned us about these unauthorized men. Lord Chaitanya clearly says that anyone who tries to understand Bhagavad Gita from the Mayavadi point of view will commit a great blunder. The result of such a blunder will be that the misguided student of Bhagavad Gita will certainly be bewildered on the path of spiritual guidance and will not be able to go back home after that. Our only purpose is to present this Bhagavad Gita as it is in order to guide the conditioned student to the same purpose for which Krishna descends to this planet once in a day of Brahma, or every 8,600,000,000 years.
Okay, just wait. So if somebody gives you a copy of Bhagavad Gita, by someone, English copy of Bhagavad Gita, so what is the way to find out whether it is authentic or not? What is a simple step? Simple procedure to find out whether it is authentic or not? It's too difficult to find out.
See the author.
Author may be XYZ, you don't know who is he. Just open 1865. Just open 18th chapter, 65th verse. And see what he has given the meaning for mom. Man, mat, yaji, mom, namaskuru. If there he says pay obeisance is to Krishna, authentic. Otherwise, not. If he says pay obeisance is to somebody within Krishna, nothing. Simple process. That is why Srila Prabhupada says, quote that verse. What does he say? He just directly pointed, Man mana bhumat bhakto. They say is somebody within Krishna. There may be so many other things, but it's the main thing. The main deciding factor. If you want to decide whether this is authentic or not authentic, just open that. It's like a testing tool whether it's proper or not. Litmus paper, yeah. Litmus paper. Litmus test. Man manabha mad bhakta madhyaji mahamnamasko. And then Srila Prabhupada gives so much importance that purport. I still remember once I heard the story of how when during Kumbh Mela time Srila Gopal Maharaj was there in charge of book distribution. And Prabhupada was there in Kumbh Mela time. Somebody came and told Maharaj that your books are too expensive. That time it was 5 rupees. Bhagavad Gita is too much. So why don't you make it Bhagavad Gita small? Just have a translation, original verse and then translation. You can distribute like millions of books. Maharaj came and told Prabhupada, now new idea has come. Somebody came. And he told about this idea. Prabhupada became so angry and told, better no Bhagavad Gita. Better no Bhagavad Gita. So, so insisting, better people don't have a copy of Bhagavad Gita without my purports. Better not to have a Gita if there is no purports given by me. That means if they read some Bhagavad Gita with only some translation, what will happen? They will have some kind of mental concoction about it. And then it is very difficult to tell them what is the real thing. So that's why purports of Prabhupada is very important. And somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, what is the secret of your success? Prabhupada told, I spoke Bhagavad Gita as it is. So he gave the formula. If somebody want to be successful, what you should do? Speak as it is. Speak as it is. That's the success. Okay, the only purpose of the present edition of Bhagavad Gita is in all guided conditions. So, read further. Read further.
This purpose is stated in Bhagavad Gita and we have to accept it as it is. Otherwise, there's no point in trying to understand the Bhagavad Gita and its speaker, Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna first spoke Bhagavad Gita to the sun god some hundreds of millions of years ago. We have to accept this fact and thus understand the historical significance of Bhagavad Gita without misinterpretation on the authority of Krishna. To interpret Bhagavad Gita without any reference to the will of Krishna is the greatest offense. In order to save oneself from this offense, one has to understand the Lord as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as he was directly understood by Arjuna, Lord Krishna's first disciple. Such understanding of Bhagavad Gita is really profitable and authorized for the welfare of human society in fulfilling the mission of life. The Krishna consciousness movement is essential in human society, for it offers the highest perfection of life. How this is so is explained fully in the Bhagavad Gita. Unfortunately, mundane wranglers have taken advantage of Bhagavad Gita to push forward their demonic propensities and mislead people regarding right understanding of the simple principles of life. Everyone should know how God or Krishna is great, and everyone should know the factual position of the living entity. Everyone should know that a living entity is eternally a servant, and that unless one serves Krishna, one has to serve illusion in different varieties of the three modes of material nature, and thus wander perpetually within the cycle of birth and death. Even the so-called liberated Mayavadi speculator has to undergo this process. This knowledge constitutes a great science, and each and every living being has to hear it for its own interest. People in general, especially in this age of Kali, are enamored by the external energy of Krishna, and they wrongly think that by advancement of material comforts, every man will be happy. They have no knowledge that the material or external nature is very strong, for everyone is strongly bound by the stringent laws of material nature. A living entity is happily the part and parcel of the Lord, and thus his natural function is to render immediate service to the Lord. By the spell of illusion, one tries to be happy by serving his personal sense gratification in different forms, which will never make him happy. Instead of satisfying his own personal material senses, he has to satisfy the senses of the Lord. That is the highest perfection of life. The Lord wants this, and he demands it. One has to understand this central point of Bhagavad Gita. Our Krishna consciousness movement is teaching the whole world this central point. And because we are not polluting the theme of Bhagavad Gita as it is, anyone seriously interested in deriving benefit by studying the Bhagavad Gita must take help from the Krishna consciousness movement for practical understanding of Bhagavad Gita under the direct guidance of the Lord. We hope, therefore, that people will derive the greatest benefit by studying Bhagavad Gita as it is, we have presented it here. And if even one man becomes a pure devotee of the Lord, we should consider our attempt a success.
So what is the success? What is the success of this movement? Who is that person? Who is that person? Me. Everybody say, if I can become, everybody should think so. Oh, if I can become a pure devotee of the Lord, Prabhupada is establishing this movement will be successful. Somebody told me, after 10 years of preaching, if you can make one person a devotee, your preaching is successful. Who is that one person?
Yourself.
Successful. Okay. Now we go to the introduction. So I introduce the introduction.
Shri.
Where is Shri Shri? Shri Srimat Bhakti Vedanta Swami. Generally we don't use a Shri Shri.
Shri Shri Bodhi.
Maybe. Auspiciousness in Shri has got lots and lots of meanings. Anything good you say that becomes Shri, that is Shri. Shri doesn't have one meaning. Anything which is auspicious, anything which is wonderful. Shri Mat Urjitam Evava Tat Tat Eva Bigachattam. Krishna says in Bhagavata, Shri Mat. Anything wonderful, anything extraordinary. You name it. So, Shri doesn't have a very specific meaning. That should be understood. Anything wonderful, anything good, anything auspicious, it all refers to Shri. Yeah, auspicious, wonderful, extraordinary, all these things are adjectives of Krishna only. Okay, once in Delhi, Srila Prabhupada was very furious because the Hindi translation was not complete, what to speak of printing. And he caught hold of Maharaj again, Gopal Maharaj. Shouting at him, he became so furious. What is this going on? Very, very furious. Very angry. Prabhupada was very angry. Maharaj put his head down. And Prabhupada, okay, he told. Maharaj told something. He's going to tell something. Then he told, if you cannot get the entire Bhagavad Gita translated into Hindi and get it printed, just get the introduction translated and get it printed. Maharaj told, yes, Prabhupada, and got it done for that marathon, for the December. So that was named as Gita Sar in Hindi, and that became the English one as Introduction to Gita. Small book. So that was released before the Hindi edition of Bhagavad Gita was released. So what does it mean? Prabhupada told, if you cannot even do the entire Bhagavad Gita, just do this. That means whatever Prabhupada has written in the Bhagavad Gita, his commentaries, everything he has put it in the introduction. So without reading the introduction, don't go to read the Bhagavad Gita, because I am telling it out of my experience. As soon as I got the copy of Bhagavad Gita in my hand for the first time, I just saw, first verse, Dhanva Kshetri, Kuru Kshetri. And then we read the translation, purport, 4-5 lines and go to the second verse, see the translations. I read the entire Bhagavad Gita without reading the purport, some purports here and there. 3 days, over. All, not even 3 days, 2 days. But I didn't know, why, what is he speaking there? So without reading the introduction, we cannot go and understand the Bhagavad Gita. Okay? So let us see what's there in the introduction. Yes. Somebody read the introduction. After the Mangalacharan, of course.
Bhagavad Gita is also Bhagavad Gita is also known as Gita Upanishad.
Yes. Why is it called Gita Upanishad? Shankaracharya named it as Isha Upanishad. Why Shankaracharya named it as Isha Upanishad? Anybody can say? Because? Make it authorized. Very good. Others believe that this is authentic book. Otherwise, earlier what used to happen? Oh, Bhagavad Gita is a part of Mahabharata. Mahabharata is a part of Smriti. So we are not giving much importance. That is why Shankaracharya brought it to light by giving this name, Upanishad, to Bhagavad Gita. So all of you memorize that verse? How many have you not memorized? Everybody is memorized. Very good. Got memory? Got memory? Speak. Tell the words.
Sarva Upanishad Gavo
Dobdar
Dobdar Gopala Nandana Partho
Vatsa Sudhir
Partho Vatsa Sudhir Dukta
Dukdham
Dukdham Gitamre Kumar
Gitamrdam Bhat. So you recite the words, try to recite it and learn. if you do like this, means difficult to be put into memory. Srila Prabhupada in Krishna book, he says in Damodara Leela, that how Yashoda Mata was churning the butter. While churning, she was singing all the pastimes of Krishna. So there he says, this is the best way to put things into memory. They put some stories into a singing form, and then you sing, then a song is easy to remember, then a prose. The same way, when you recite the verses in a particular meter, it is easier to remember rather than when you try to say Dharma Kshetre, Kuru Kshetre. Some way. Instead of doing that, you can recite in a particular meter and go on doing it again and again, repetitively. Maybe you can have 2-3 people in a group, and you do it, then it will automatically come into memory. So even if you get stuck up, the next word will pop up if you repeat the previous thing, isn't it? So it's a good practice to do memories, things in a proper tune. Like yesterday we recited, Sarva Upanishado Gavo Gopala Nandana Partho Vatsa Sudhir Bhokta Dukam Gitam Vidam Mahat. So if you do that way, then like you'll be, your consciousness will flow according to the meter. Otherwise, your consciousness will be stuck up. if there is no meter, proper meter. Yes.
So can you say that Shankaracharya authorized this Bhagavad Gita by giving it an Upanishad? Ramana Pandita is Smriti, they are Shruti. Can you say that this Bhagavad Gita is Shruti?
You see, it is established by Jiva Goswami in the Tattva Sandarbha, that's how, by quotes from different sources, saying that Shruti can only be understood through Smriti. Shruti can only be understood through Smriti. So there are three ways of instructing other person: a master to a servant, a friend to a friend, a lover to the beloved, isn't it? The way the Smritis, the Shrutis explain is like the master to the servant. You should do it. That's how the master tells the servant. How does a friend tell the friend? Chalo na, kar do na. How does a beloved tell the beloved one? Please karo na. Something like that. You know, that person has to do. You can see many of the grihasthas, they do so much. Because lover has told, has to do. Isn't it? So in this way, for different kinds of conditioned consciousness, there are different ways of telling. So to accept the instruction of the Shruti directly, it's not easy for everyone. So the same thing will be explained by the Smritis in a friendly way. So they are not two distinct different things. They are not two different things. It is the same thing. That is why it is clearly explained. Vedartha, I forgot the words. To explain the artha of Vedas, Vyasa wrote the Itihasas and Puranas. Without the Puranas, you cannot understand the Vedas. Of course, Sripa Shankaracharya did not speak that at that time because his purpose was different. But he did it in a very subtle way by saying that Gita Upanishad. Without studying Bhagavad Gita, you cannot understand any Upanishad. That is what he meant. So these people who are so-called followers, initially see Bhagavad Gita, very good, wonderful. If you start talking to me about Bhagavad Gita, at the end they see, you see, Bhagavad Gita is there, it is good. But only you should accept those things in the Bhagavad Gita which are in concurrence with the Upanishads. At the end they will tell this and stop talking to you. I have experience with a few people who, after talking 2 hours about Bhagavad Gita, they told this. Then I told, what is the use of speaking to you then? Because they don't accept Bhagavad Gita as it is. Okay, next time.
It's the essence of Vedic knowledge and one of the most important Upanishads in Vedic literature. Of course, there are many commentaries in English on the Bhagavad Gita, and one may question the necessity for another one. This present edition can be explained in the following way. Recently, an American lady asked me to recommend an English translation of Bhagavad Gita. Of course, in America, there are so many editions of Bhagavad Gita available in English. But as far as I have seen, not only in America, but also in India, none of them can be strictly said to be authoritative, because in almost every one of them, the commentator has expressed his own opinions without touching the spirit of Bhagavad Gita as it is. The spirit of Bhagavad Gita is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita itself. It is just like this. If you want to take a particular medicine, then we have to follow the directions written on the label. We cannot take the medicine according to our own whim or the direction of a friend. It must be taken according to the directions on the label or the directions given by a physician. Similarly, Bhagavad Gita should be taken or accepted as it is directed by the speaker himself. The speaker of Bhagavad Gita is Lord Sri Krishna. He is mentioned on every page of Bhagavad Gita as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. Of course, the word Bhagavan sometimes refers to any powerful person or any powerful demigod. And certainly here, Bhagavan designates Lord Krishna as a great personality, but at the same time, we should know that Lord Sri Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, as is confirmed by all great acharyas, spiritual masters like Sankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Nimbarka Swami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and many others, other authorities of Vedic knowledge in India. The Lord Himself also establishes Himself as the supreme personality of Godhead in the Bhagavad Gita, and He is accepted as such in the Brahma Samhita and all the Puranas, especially the Srimad Bhagavatam known as the Bhagavad Puran, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. Therefore, we should take Bhagavad Gita as it is directed by the personality of Godhead Himself.
Yes. In the entire introduction, there are six topics. And each topic is coming to the next topic, and there is a spontaneous flow of Prabhupada's thought in explaining the entire Bhagavad Gita in this introduction. The first topic is how to understand Bhagavad Gita. Or in other words, you can say the same thing, what is the spirit of Bhagavad Gita? Because you can understand a thing only when you understand the spirit of Bhagavad Gita, spirit of the book. Like if there is a mathematics book, we should know it is a mathematics book. You cannot study the mathematics book thinking it is a book on literature. Otherwise you say, what is this crazy thing going on? There is A, B, C, D there also, but it doesn't have any meaning. Isn't it? Like, there's one person who has put his son into the school nursery. There he saw the teacher was teaching him A, B, C, D. After 7-8 years, he went into the 9th or 10th standard. There he went to the school and he saw mathematics teacher also writing A plus B whole square. Then he got so furious. What is that? I am paying you so much. After 10 years also you are teaching my son the same ABCD. Isn't that? So, first is, to understand a book, you should know the spirit in which the book is written. So the first subject which Srila Prabhupada addresses in the introduction is the spirit of Bhagavad Gita. So within that spirit of Bhagavad Gita, there are so many points which are mentioned. The first point within the spirit of Bhagavad Gita is, you can understand Bhagavad Gita only when you accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The first thing which is established is this point. Without accepting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we cannot understand Bhagavad Gita. That is why Srila Prabhupada starts his introduction after saying Bhagavad Gita is also called Gita Upanishad. He says that there are so many editions of Bhagavad Gita available in English, especially in English. There are, at that time of Prabhupada, there were around 742 editions of Bhagavad Gita available in English. And Srila Prabhupada in the beginning boldly says, none of the commentaries are touching the spirit of Bhagavad Gita. What is the major problem which they had? They wanted Gita, but not Krishna. They wanted Gita, but not Krishna. So they said, Bhagavad Gita is very great, but Krishna is ordinary. He may be a great person, but not absolute person. So if Krishna is not an absolute personality of Godhead, how whatever he speaks should also not be absolute? How can you separate the speaker and the speech? The speaker and the speech can never be separated. Suppose there's a judge. He says, hang him till death. And somebody like me also says, hang him till death. There's a difference. The speech may be the same, but the speech, who spoke it? That is an important thing. The speaker and the speech cannot be separated from each other. So here, these commentators on the Bhagavad Gita, what they did? They wanted Bhagavad Gita, but not Krishna. That is why Srila Prabhupada says that an American lady came to me and asked, why are you writing another commentary? Already people are confused in so many ways. Why are you adding one more confusion? That was her question. And Prabhupada directly told her, what did he say? None of them gave it as it is. They had their own commentaries, but I am giving it as it is. Now within that first point is, spirit of Bhagavad Gita is accepting Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, for that Srila Prabhupada gives three proofs. What are they? Number one, in every page of Bhagavad Gita, it is mentioned what? Bhagavan Vacha. If Krishna has spoken, who is Bhagavan? Krishna is Bhagavan. Number two, gives authority of Acharyas. They all accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who are the Acharyas this given? First he spoke whose name? Shripad Shankaracharya, Shripad Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Nimbarka Acharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the four sampradayas, and including Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ram, Shankaracharya, all of them you mentioned. What is the third proof which he gave?
He declared himself as
the scriptures. Rama Samhita and Srimad. In Brahma Samhita, what is mentioned? Ishvara Paramaha Krishna. And then Bhagavatam, Krishnastu Bhagavan. So in this particular paragraph, Srila Prabhupada has established the first point in understanding the spirit of Bhagavad Gita is to understand what? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For that he gave three pramanas. What are they? Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. Who is the Guru here? Krishna. Scriptures, two scriptures, evidence are given. What are they? Brahma Samhita and Bhagavata. Who are the sadhus they mentioned here? Shankaracharya, Ramanuja, Nimbaraka, Madhva, Chaitanya. Okay. So whatever you speak, always give the authority of these three. You make it a standard practice. After maybe 4 or 5 years, you may do it in a spontaneous way. Whenever you give class anywhere or speak to anyone, make sure that you give a Shastric Praman, you give a Praman of your spiritual master, Praman of the sadhus, the previous acharyas. Make it a habit. Why? Because if you just remove one thing out of the three, the authority cannot be established. Because Guru speaks from the scriptures, and that should be based on the previous acharyas. If there is no Guru, you cannot understand the scriptures. If there are no scriptures, what do you discuss? And if there are no sadhus, previous acharyas, then how do you relate that your Guru is speaking truth or not? So that is why there is a nice, wonderful check balance system of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Srila Prabhupada has clearly done it in the introduction itself. Before we go to the next paragraph, any questions? Clear this point? Okay, next. Next.
In the fourth chapter of Gita, chapter 4, text 1 to 3, the Lord says, Ivam Vivashvate Yogam Proktaman Aham Abhyayam Vivashvan Manavetraham
Manurikshva Kavepravet
Ivam Parampara Praptam Ivam Parajarashayo Vidu Satare Neha Mata Yoga Nashtaparantava yoga prakta puratana bhakto sime saka cheti rahasya me dadukkama.
Okay, wait.
Here, wait.
So, now, to understand Bhagavad Gita, what is the first time, first thing required to accept Krishna as a Supreme Personality of Godhead? Okay, you have accepted Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead. But, to understand Bhagavad Gita, you need to accept Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead, but it's not enough. You need to develop a relationship with Him. There is a subject, there is a teacher, and there is a student. The subject will enter the heart of the student through the teacher only when there is a strong relationship between the student and the teacher. It's our experience in our schools, in the colleges also. You like that subject, depending on the teacher. If you like the teacher, you like the subject. You understand it very nicely also. So the relationship between the student and teacher in the Vedic system has given so much emphasis because without that relationship, the subject cannot enter the heart of the student. Now here, Bhagavad Gita is there. Krishna is the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita. You have accepted that Krishna is a speaker and Krishna is Supreme Lord, both are absolute. Now after accepting that, what you are supposed to do? Develop a relationship with Krishna. So that is the subject matter here. Developing relationship with Krishna, that is the subject spoken in this particular section. So you don't have to read the translation of all the verses. Essentially, the third verse in these three verses says, Sa eva ayam maya tedhya. Krishna is telling Arjuna, Sa eva, the thing which I have spoken to Vaswan before, Sa eva, maya, whatever was spoken by me, te adhya, to you, adhya means now, what I am doing? Speaking. Sa eva maya tedhya, yoga prakta puratana, same old subject matter, yoga subject matter, and speaking it to you. Why? Why did not find anybody else? So many people would have spoken to you. Actually, Bhagavad Gita was required to Duryodhana. Isn't it? Why did Krishna speak, not speak Duryodhana? It's a big question I asked. I still remember it. I was attending Bhagavad Gita class. I was studying in the college and I used to go regularly go sometime. I asked, I really sincerely felt Duryodhana was a bad person, Arjuna is a good person. Already is a good person, why Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna? At that time I had no understanding of Bhagavad Gita, not even, just go and read also. So, all devotees were sitting, it's a Bhagavatam class actually. And after that, generally speakers say, no, any questions? So I was sitting in the front and all were like, we've seen a devotee's Prabhupada disciples and all were sitting. And I have a question. I told, this question is not regarding your class. Anyway, I did not understand any of your class. It was a Bhagavatam class. And we just knew 15-20 days, you are just letting it. Then I asked a question. See, as far as I know, Arjuna and Pandavas are good people. And Duryodhana is a bad person. And now, Krishna, why he spoke to Arjuna? He should have spoken to Duryodhana. The reason is this. Then this verse was quoted to me, saying that, do you think Krishna is so cheap? He'll go on telling about himself to everybody, I am this. He'll only tell it to whom he loves, who he has relationship. That's so convincing answer. So relationship is very important. So when you have a rapport with your teacher, then the rapport with your teacher will develop rapport with the subject. Now here, Saivaya Mayatya Yoga Prakta Puradana Bhakto Si Me Sakha. May you are my Sakha. You are my devotee. That is why I spoke this thing to you. So, don't read the translation. Because other things, when you go to the fourth chapter, you learn. So go to the end of that paragraph. Read the end of the paragraph. Last time the paragraph. And then go to the next paragraph.
The last one is the next chapter.
Ah, last 10 rupees, same paragraph and go further.
But in the course of time, it has become lost. Consequently,
next one.
He tells Arjuna that he is relating the supreme secret to him because Arjuna is his devotee and his friend. The purport of this is that Bhagavad Gita is a treatise between which is especially meant for the devotee of the Lord. There are three classes of transcendentalists, namely the jnani, the yogi and the bhakta, or the impersonalist, the meditator and the devotee. Here the Lord clearly tells Arjuna that he is making him the first receiver of a new parampara, disciplic succession, because the old succession was broken. It was the Lord's wish, therefore, to establish another parampara in the same line of thought that was coming down from the sun god to others. And it was his wish that his teaching be distributed anew by Arjuna. He wanted Arjuna to become the authority in understanding the Bhagavad Gita. So we see that Bhagavad Gita is instructed to Arjuna, especially because Arjuna was a devotee of the Lord, a direct student of Krishna and his intimate friend. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita is best understood by a person who has qualities similar to Arjuna. That is to say, he must be a devotee in a direct relationship with the Lord. As soon as one becomes a devotee of the Lord, he also has a direct relationship with the Lord. That is a very elaborate subject matter. But briefly, it can be stated that a devotee is in a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in one of the five different ways.
Okay, wait. What is very elaborate subject matter? What is that? What is the subject matter which is elaborate? Prabhupada says, that is a very elaborate subject matter. What is that? One's relationship with Krishna is a very elaborate subject matter. So where it is explained? In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is the description of five rasas. Isn't it? So Prabhupada just hints to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in this particular line. It's a very elaborate subject matter, but we can just summarize it saying that we have five kinds of relations with the Lord. That is Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya. These five things are mentioned. Now, to understand Bhagavad Gita, first is what? Accept Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead. What is the second one? Develop a relation. Have a relationship with Him. Now, how to have that relationship? That is what is the next paragraph. Read the next paragraph. After those five.
In a relationship with the Lord, man, of course, there is a gulf of difference between his friendship and the friendship found in the material world. This is transcendental friendship, which cannot be had by everyone. Of course, everyone has a particular relationship with the Lord, and that relationship is evoked by the perfection of Krishna service.
Okay, that relationship is what?
Broken.
Evoked. Not broke. Evoked. It sounded like broke. That relationship can be evoked. It is not broke. You're from Orissa? Huh? Bengal. Orissa and Bengal, then little bit pronunciation, like Prabhupada's pronunciation.
No, that's why Bhagavad Gita was
spoken. That's over. That subject. Now, the relationship we have broken with Krishna. Now, how to understand, how to develop a relationship, how to evoke that relationship by devotional service. That is why, by performance of devotional service, you develop a relationship with Krishna. When you develop a relationship with Krishna, then you can understand Bhagavad Gita. Very, very critical subject this one is. Some people say, why I should be a devotee of Krishna to understand Bhagavad Gita? That is the reason. This is the reason. In other words, let me put it in a different way. The better devotee you become, the better you can handle understanding of Gita. If you get up early in the morning, chant your rounds, do devotional service properly, it is easy to understand Bhagavad Gita. And there is no other way to understand Bhagavad Gita. Don't think that study of Bhagavad Gita is different from devotional service. If I am a better devotee, I have better understanding of Bhagavad Gita. If you want to have better understanding of Bhagavad Gita, what do you have to be? Better devotee of Krishna. As simple as that. So what does Prabhupada say here? Of course, everyone has a particular relation with the Lord, and that relationship is evoked by the perfection of devotional service.
Arjuna is the new disciple of the new parampara.
New disciple of the new parampara.
Because somebody asked me this question and I was like, I couldn't answer. He said that, look, we say Brahma and all this, till Ganas and all this. It became a bit difficult for me. I didn't answer to
him. You see, what parampara, what we speak of four sampradayas, that parampara is a guru parampara, guru sishya parampara. And definitely Arjuna doesn't belong to the guru sishya parampara. If it had been the 32 acharyas name, Arjuna's name should be there. It is not there. There is sutra parampara, in which also devotional service and bhakti and scriptures are taught. Father teaches son, son teaches his son, in this way. It is not that in the sutra parampara something else was taught. No. Bhagavad Gita was only taught. Vedic literatures were taught along with whatever is their tradition. Kshatriya would teach his son martial arts or whatever training is there. So that was lost because of two reasons. Because sometimes the king would not have sons. Sometimes there'd be a war and some other king would come and conquer. So the Sukra Parampara, it is not always continuous. Whereas the Guru Parampara is always continuous. Sometimes it is weak, sometimes it is very powerful. Like after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, still the Parampara was there, but the influence of the society was very weak. But after Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, the influence of the society became very strong. Like during Madhva's time, before Madhvacharya, still that Parampara was there, Brahma Sampradaya was there. But it was very weak. The influence was not very strong. The Madhva came, it came very strong. So, the Guru Sishya Parampara will never ever be stopped. Whereas Raja Rishi Parampara will always have this problem. Okay, that's the point. Okay, go further.
Coming to present status of our life, not only can we forgotten the Supreme Lord, but we have forgotten our eternal relationship with the Lord. As a living being, out of the many, many billions and billions of living beings, has a particular relationship with the Lord eternally. This is called Swarupam. By the process of devotional service, one can divide that Swarupam. And that process of devotional service, that stage is called Swarupa Siddhi. Of one's constitutional position. So Arjuna was a devotee and he was in touch with the Supreme Lord in friendship.
Very good. Yeah. Next, read it.
How Arjuna accepted this Bhagavad Gita should be noted. His manner of acceptance is given in the 10th chapter, then 12th.
Param Brahma Param Dhamam Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adirevam Majam Vibhum Avasvam Vishaya Sarve Deva Rishir Narada Stata Asito Deva Vyasa Sayam Shaiva Ravishime
Read the, don't read the translation, go to the next paragraph.
After hearing Bhagavad Gita from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Arjuna accepted Krishna as Param Brahma, the Supreme
Brahma.
Oh, wait. These verses belong to which chapter?
Ten.
What does Prabhupada say here? Hey, Bhagavad Gita is not yet over. Bhagavad Gita is not yet over. Why does Prabhupada say that?
So
the fourth chapter is over here. Yeah. Now the tube late. These verses are starting from 10th chapter, what verse?
10:8 to 10:8.
These verses. 12 to 14. So before the 12th verse, what are the verses which are there?
8, 9, 10, 11.
These four verses are called what? So Bhagavad Gita is over. Bhagavad Gita is over. That is why Prabhupada says, after hearing Bhagavad Gita from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Arjuna accepted Krishna as a Param Brahma. So now in these four verses Bhagavad Gita, immediately what did Arjuna say? So if at all somebody has understood Bhagavad Gita, what they should accept? Krishna as? So if at all somebody has understood Bhagavad Gita, if at all somebody has understood Bhagavad Gita, it is Arjuna. Otherwise Krishna would not have wasted his time, isn't it? Do you think Lord would tell somebody and he doesn't understand? Just imagine anybody else would understand. Who can be a better teacher than Krishna himself? So Krishna himself is telling somebody, and definitely Arjuna should have understood. If Arjuna would have not understood, Krishna would have told, even after I speaking, he did not understand. And Krishna told, now after whatever I had to tell, I have told you. Now Arjuna, whatever you want to do, you do. Itaichasi, itaakuru. Then what did Krishna, Arjuna say? Nashtomo smritarlubha karishye vachanam. Then Krishna became very happy. That means Krishna himself has confirmed that Arjuna has understood. So if somebody says, I have understood Bhagavad Gita, then his understanding should conform with the understanding of Arjuna. That is why the acharyas, they do a lot of analysis of the realization of the devotees in Bhagavatam, in Bhagavad Gita, in any scripture. Why they do the analysis of the realization of the devotees? Because in future, when somebody reads that scripture, they should also have similar or the same realization, isn't it? That is why the analysis of Vyasa, analysis of realization of Sukadeva Goswami, analysis of realization of Sutta Goswami, they are done by the acharyas in the sandarbhas, so that later in future, if somebody reads the Bhagavatam, they should also come to the same conclusion as Vyasa, as Sukadeva Goswami, as Sutta Goswami. Here also the same thing. That is why Arjuna's realization are given in the Bhagavad Gita. Vyasa wrote the realization of Arjuna immediately after Chitta Shloki. Otherwise, in that context, Arjuna accepting these things, Param Brahma Param Dhamma, is not required. Because the same things were already told before by Krishna. Why Arjuna's pravachan should come in between? Speech should come in between? Just to, Vyasa has put that Arjuna's realization to show that if you also have studied Bhagavad Gita, your realization should be that Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Param Bhagavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adidevam Ajamibhum Avastvam Rishaya Sarve Devrishya Narasata Asito Devala Vyasa Swayam Cheva Ravishi. And then, what did Arjuna say then? Sarvam Edat Dhritam Manye. What is the meaning of that? Yes, I accept everything, whatever you are told. Not half. Not 99.99%, 100%. Some people say, Prabhuji, whatever you are told, I'll accept, except this one. Guru Maharaj, whatever you are told, I accept it totally, but accept this one. What does that mean? I don't accept you. I only accept my mind. So my mind says, accept this, don't accept this. So I'm accepting my mind. I'm actually not accepting you. So this is known as Ardha Kukutunai. You know the half hand philosophy? Half hand philosophy? Here's one hen which is giving a golden egg every day. The husband told the wife, take care of the hen very nicely. It gives a golden egg every day. 2 days passed, the wife saw the hen is eating from the front, giving the egg from the back. She thought, the front part of the hen is a loss, the back part of the hen is very good, profitable. So at the same time, there is a golden hen which gives a golden egg. I have not tasted that kind of hen any time. So she cut the first part, the front part, she ate it off. And next day waiting, where is the egg going to come from? It doesn't come. It's not Ardha Kukutunai. In the same way, this accepting, oh, this is good. Some people say, I only accept good things from everywhere, as if he knows what is good and what is bad. Take good things from everywhere. How do you know what is good, what is bad? If you know what is good, what is bad, then why you have to accept from someone? You getting logic? Huh? Why at all you have to, if you are so well versed in what is good, what is bad, why you have to accept anybody? So, if you are accepting, what you do? Accept totally. Otherwise, get lost. So, Arjuna, he told, what did he say? Sarvameta dhritam manye en mam vadashikeshava. Naite bhagavan vyaktum vidur deva na danava. I'll just read some more part. After hearing Bhagavad Gita from the Supreme Personality of God, remove that, because Vibhum and all these things will come later in the second chapter. We'll talk about it later. Second paragraph also, remove, I explained that. Okay, last paragraph. Therefore, what I will do, last paragraph. Therefore,
Bhagavad Gita should be taken up in the spirit of devotion.
Yes.
One should not think that he is equal to Krishna, nor should he think that Krishna is an ordinary personality or even a very great personality. Lord Sri Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, at least theoretically, according to the statements of the Bhagavad Gita or the statements of Arjuna, the person who is trying to understand the Bhagavad Gita. We should therefore at least theoretically accept Sri Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead. And with that submissive spirit, we can understand the Bhagavad Gita. Unless one reads the Bhagavad Gita in a submissive spirit, it is very difficult to understand the Bhagavad Gita because it is a great mystery. Just what is the Bhagavad
Gita? This is for today. Tomorrow is a holiday, but no holiday. Tomorrow we'll have class at 4 o'clock. 4 to 5:30, 1.5 hours. So, because today I'm supposed to finish the introduction, because it's difficult to finish second chapter and first chapter in such short time. I want to finish the introduction. So tomorrow we'll finish the introduction, try to finish the introduction. We'll meet at 4 o'clock tomorrow. Is Ayendra Prabhu's disappearance day. The function is from 12 o'clock till 3 o'clock.
From 11 bhajans, and 12 o'clock notification. And I think at 2 o'clock for Panchami Aarti,
and then feast. So by the time feast gets over, it is 4 o'clock. So you can come by 4 o'clock here after prasadam. But here the prasadam will not be there. For the Hindi people, morning I'm having class from 10 to 11:30 or something like that. Morning 10 to 11:30. Now for the English, it will be from evening 4 to 5:30. Is it okay?
Yes.
Okay. Hare Krishna.